You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast presented by Land Rover. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle, and together we're the Two Robbies, and I've got my friend with me here for this podcast. And Rob, this is soon after the final whistle of Spurs and West Brom. I've got to say, I'm still fired up. It was an eventful game, so much going on, so much drama. That late goal from West Brom, or fairly late goal to make it 1-1, and Spurs couldn't reply. So much to talk about, Robbie Earle, and I am fired up. I'm sure you're fired up as well. What's the game first? What didn't Spurs do? How did they not win this match?
Lost control, Robert, of the game, and one or two of the players a little bit of themselves during the game, and it affected the result. We've seen last year over the course of the season, and we've said the crashes on them, and we've been all been sort of looking for something that might give us an indication that the pressure was getting to them. We haven't seen that. Tonight, I thought there was little spells, and we know the Dele Alli thing, and we'll talk about that and his possible consequences in a moment, but there was Kyle Walker maybe kicking out, and it just felt to me that one or two of the players were just feeling a little bit. Now, having got 1-0 up and having been in control of the game, Rob, they didn't master the ball enough. They didn't close the game down enough to say, you know what, maybe we have to do an ugly 1-0. I kind of feel that they sense, come on, we've got to score another two or three. That's the way we're going to put pressure on Leicester. Three against Manchester United a couple of weeks ago. Four against Stoke last week on Monday night, which we saw. I felt like they thought, come on, let's put another 3 or 4 nil on this one and then we can go on. And if there's one thing this team has to learn, and we saw it in the North London Derby, is sometimes 1-0 is enough. Leicester have shown us one goal margins are enough to sit top of the table. And maybe that's the learning of this group. Maybe that's the maturity. When we said, there isn't that much wrong with this Spurs team, is it? Maybe when the pressure was on tonight, they lost a little bit of control of themselves and the football match.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it's just a small little blind spot of Pochettino. You just get the sense that this team plays with so much freedom and flair, and it's like he's coaching the team to play that way. The game management part, it's just crept up on them, and they haven't done it very well. The Arsenal game was very similar, I thought, where they couldn't put the game to bed. And I thought Lee Dixon made great points in his assessment of the game, our commentator, basically saying that sometimes just put it over the top, make it ugly, let's get a shape, let's not give them any encouragement to see the game out. And I guess it is a young team. They have been brilliant. But I think the maturity level and the performance side, as we've talked about, is what's letting them down. And for Dele Alli as well, Rob, let's go on and talk about him a little bit with the maturity part. I mean, we've seen this a little bit before from him. He has a tendency to react to stuff. And, you know, you can't throw a hand or a fist or whatever at an opponent because that is violent conduct. And we will see what happens with the FA, etc. But that was a real loss of control, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, I remember the season, Bob, we were doing the game where he got himself a yellow card, I think his fifth yellow card of the season, missed the Chelsea game again, and we're talking how big a miss he would be, and he is. I mean, he's an outstanding talent. I mean, the way that he set up Harry Kane early in the game, shifting the ball, timing the ball into the former, he's an exceptional talent, but he can be got at, and I think Lee made the point in the second half. You almost got the sense one or two of the West Brom players were goading him. West Brom are a little bit lighter. They've done it with Diego Costa in the past. They are what I would call, you know, experienced, been round the track, got the T-shirt kind of pros. They know the game. There's one or two I thought were just trying to wind Dele Alli up into doing something. And that's something he's going to have to learn. He's going to have to count to 10. He's going to have to hurt with his ability rather than reacting as he did, because it's going to cost him and it's going to cost his team. And just talking about it, Robin, I remember on the radio show we did at the weekend, and you talked about Spurs and were saying possibly they might win out the season. I said, there's two party poopers to come. There's West Brom, who are the perennial, you know, dour, put the blanket on the fire, kind of put things out. And then there's Chelsea, which now has become the huge derby next Monday, regardless of what, you know, if Leicester don't go and win it at Manchester United. Chelsea have a huge incentive in that game to make sure that Spurs don't win the title this year. So all of a sudden, 7 days, Rob, I'm thinking, last Monday we were at the Britannia Stadium going, wow, this Spurs team are right on form at the right time. 7 days later, what a shift it seems that all of a sudden momentum's gone back to Leicester.
Tony Pulis said before the game that he would like to see Leicester win the league, and he said it again afterwards in a post-game interview. And I reacted quite strongly because I don't think that's his. I don't want to hear. If I'm another player, if I'm a Spurs player, if I'm a Spurs fan, I don't want that. I don't need that. He can say such a thing in a different way, or not say anything at all. How do you feel about that, Rob? Do you have a problem with a manager that's going to play a title contender saying he'd rather have the other team not win it?
No, I didn't have as big a problem as you. I get your point, and I think it's unprofessional, but I think if I'm Tony Pulis and I'm looking at myself and in the league, I'm thinking, well, I'm not a Tottenham and I'll never get a Tottenham job, so the only way I can do it is I've got to do what a Leicester do. So I can sort of see that he's fighting the corner for the small man, for the small team who never gets there, who always get doubted, who people said can't win the title. So I don't have as much problem. And you know what? If I'm a Tottenham player, I know you say maybe the fans aren't happy. I get that. If I'm a Tottenham player, all I do is beat his team as big as I can and shut him up and say, well, I've done my bit, so it doesn't matter what you do, Tony. So I heard your comments and I get them and I respect your views, but I didn't have as big a problem. I think it's unprofessional for him to be saying that.
Did you think his team played in a different way? They were different to the way they played at Arsenal. Do you think his passion, what the players
days,
helped
Robert, him? They can have off days, and you know, we've seen Spurs had an off day today, so you know that's how it goes. But his team were given encouragement. They're very good from set pieces. We know they're bristle. They don't mind a fight. I think that they were hurt by the criticism that they're flip-flop players. They're already on the beach. Yeah. I don't actually think West Brom are those type of guys. I don't think most of them have come from lower league, have worked hard to get where they are and desperately want to stay in the Barclays Premier League. So I don't think they're that kind of team. And I think that hurt them, hurt people like Darren Fletcher and Johnny Evans, who had good careers. And I think they wanted to respond, and they did, and spoil Spurs' party.
Can Spurs still do it, Robbie-O?
No, and I said it at the weekend, I feel Spurs won't, and I just don't see them winning out. I think they could get a bloody nose again at Stamford Bridge. Could even be another draw. I'm not even saying Chelsea will be so incentivised to stop Spurs. They don't want another London club winning this. Their season could be on. You know, their fans are not going to allow Spurs to come into Stamford Bridge and walk away with the 3 points. So there's a huge game next Monday. Obviously, if Leicester don't go and do the business at Old Trafford on the Sunday. So, no, I think it's all Leicester's now. And I think Spurs, without any shame, will finish behind Leicester City.
Yeah, I agree. And let's just quickly react from Leicester's performance, Rob, against Swansea. No Vardy, no problem. Ujoa comes into the team, looks great. Schlupp brings out a little bit of pace on the outside. Claudio Ranieri, again, plays it absolutely right in terms of revving the team up with emotional kind of cheerleading in his press conference, picking the right substitutions, the right players to come in and replace Jamie Vardy. I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. This guy can't do any more than what he's already doing to make this club win the league. And what a performance it was.
Well, the performance was outstanding, the 4-0. It kind of shifted momentum, and then anything put pressure on Spurs that we saw was telling today. But you just mentioned it. This all started on the press conference on Friday when Claudio Ranieri stood up and said, now we're ready to win the title. This team is good enough. This team is brave enough. We're going to go out and show. And all the talk about, you know, no Vardy, whether it was one or two games, we now know it's the two games, and he misses the Manchester United as well. But he got his selections right. Joe comes in and gets goals. Schlupp had an important role to play. Albrighton, who he rested, comes on and gets a goal. I mean, outstanding manager. This guy, whether he finished first or second, and I believe that they're destined for the first spot, is the manager of the year, Rob.
Yeah.
I look at what they've got Tottenham, and they've got better players, they've got creativity, they've got growing talent. This guy has taken a bunch of oddballs to the pinnacle of the Barclays Premier League talent. And I just thought his words on Friday drew this club together and united this club and said, come on, we got one more push. We have to prove these doubters that we can do it. And they did it in emphatic style with a 4-0 win. And it set them up perfectly now. 3 points from three games.
I don't like to do this. And it pains me to do it.
And no, I'm right.
Well, I said it on air. And I said it, you know what? Going into this kind of run in the last two or three months, I thought the mentality of the team would change so their game would change. Their game hasn't changed one bit. Correct. So their mentality didn't. And I think that's the biggest compliment is to maintain a performance, a team ethic, a scoring ability, and defensively superb. Absolutely superb. Well, the best team defensively since Christmas. And that's been the biggest surprise of how consistent they've been. And again, versus Swansea, they absolutely just get the job done.
Well, look, the difference today, Robert, in the two teams were that I would say Leicester City manage matches better than any club in the league. That's why they've only lost three games. You know, Manchester City have lost nine. That's why they're the only team with 70-plus points for the season. They can take one goal and manage that to 3 points better than any side. And Spurs tonight needed to do that. Maybe one goal against a tough West Brom team was enough. Manage the game to the 3 points. They weren't able to do that, and that's been the difference.
So, just quickly going forward, looking forward to the match at Old Trafford. Leicester City, by the way, if they win that game, they are champions. Well, this isn't going to be easy, though. United have to win themselves.
Stop putting the doubts there, Robbie Musgrove. You doubted them at the start, you doubted them in the middle, you doubted them without Vardy, you doubted them with Spurs coming. No more doubts. Listen, they'll get it done. This team have a way, find a hero, find a group, find an individual. Whatever it takes, this team will do it. I can see them winning at Old Trafford, Robert, and it's all over.
Listen, let's just think about that. Let's just think about that for a second, Robbio. Leicester City winning the title at Old Trafford. It's insanity.
Quite fitting about that. I mean, 13-time champions Manchester United having to bow down to a Leicester City team sitting top of the table is just... It is cray-cray, as they say.
Yeah, it's brilliant, mate. Listen, let's switch our focus to the bottom of the league and relegation, and I think we all agree Sunderland and Newcastle, one of those is going to go down, if not both. Sunderland's performance against Arsenal, Rob, I thought was fantastic. Yeah. Totally deserved their point. I just think he's got it going right. Every part of this team is looking really good.
The people he brought in, I think we talked about it at the weekend, the people he brought in the window have all brought something to the football club, which was hugely important. Sam's doing his thing. Rob, the first thing, Rob, they're not conceding as many goals. They've three clean sheets out of the last four. That's a huge help. You know, my mate up front, you know, my buddy, Jermaine Defoe, is always going to give you a chance. He's got people playing in decent positions. Young Watmore even coming off the bench gives them a spark if things aren't happening. There's just Sam's just got it right where he wants it now. They're out of the bottom three with the point against Arsenal. I just have said, I think he gets the momentum now. I'm not taking anything away from Rafa because he's all of a sudden got a tune out of these Newcastle players. They look more diligent. They look more responsible. I saw one or two having a go at each other at the weekend to try to get back into the game against Liverpool. And, you know, he's got a win and two draws against decent opposition now. So he's got things moving on. But I just still feel that Sam will have a little bit more influence over his group of players. And I think Sunderland, for me, just get out of it, and Newcastle, unfortunately, I think, go down.
Listen, ain't it funny, Rob? We're talking about Sunderland versus Arsenal. We're nearly at the end of the season, and we're not really talking about Arsenal. What does this result and performance say about Arsenal right now? And Arsene Wenger, I mean, the body language, the stadium, the noise, the vibe, the feel, everything about Arsenal is so dire. It's so flat. It's so negative. It's like so much of Groundhog Day. Where are we quickly with them, Rob?
Let me tell you, we're three games to go. The indictment of Arsenal and their situation is that the Arsenal fans are more concerned with making sure Spurs don't win the title than their own hopes themselves. That tells me everything about where Arsenal are and should be. This is a team that I believe were top of the table come the turn of the year, have dropped completely out of it. And I know on air you put me away when I wasn't there to defend myself with my friend Olivier Giroud and his category C lack of gold. And listen, I accept that he's not your 20 goal a season man, but I still insist if you go and put Lionel Messi in that team or Cristiano Ronaldo in that team or an out and out proven goal scorer, there is still something, not somebody, there's still something missing with that football club. And that might well be that the manager on the side is not doing what is required. But there is something missing in our football club for them, stopping them winning titles. And that's something that this summer Arsenal have to sit down and have to work out.
I'll tell you what was good at the weekend, mate, was Newcastle United coming back from 2-0 down to get a point and a different Newcastle United and a different performance and a different attitude. Rafa Benitez, I mean, he is making them better, but is it too late? I picked him to stay up and I'm not changing from that. It's quite tight down there. A little bit of momentum for this football club now with the performances, the draws and a victory a little while ago. I still think they got a chance. Did they wait too long to bring him into the club?
Yeah, and do you remember the situation where Steve McClaren had, I think it was like an international break, and then two or three games after before they did it, and what I'm saying, if you're not got Steve McClaren, make the move then. Give Rafa a couple of weeks, 10 days to work with the players. He has those extra three games. I think Newcastle will be three or four games short of being able to stay up. I'm not sure he can keep the consistency over the last three games to get enough points to get him out of trouble. But given three or four more matches at the start of his reign instead of the 10 that he had, I think he makes a difference. And there's no doubt that the team are better. The big question, and the rumours are, Rob, that Rafa might want to stay with Newcastle and bring him out of the Championship, which would be huge for the football club, because we believe there's a clause in his contract that he can get out. But I just think that he'll run out of games this season and they'll end up a little bit short.
Liverpool, huge Europa League semi-final on Thursday against Villarreal. You have to fancy their chances over two legs of what they've done already and the teams that they've beaten, the massive games that they've managed to get through over two legs. One potential problem, Mamadou Sakho, Rob, and we've got to talk about it a little bit. He's failed a drugs test. There's another sample, an extra sample, just to confirm that. Oh, wow, I mean... Yeah. How big a problem is it that he's not available, and how big a problem it potentially is this in football?
It's a huge problem for Sakho and Jurgen Klopp. He was probably their best central defender. Him and Lovren had just started to get a little bit of a partnership going. Just felt the confidence was coming into the back two, and then now he's out of the team. And I don't know how big a problem it is. I was quite surprised that players are taking what we believe like fat thinning tablets or something of the like when, you know, in our day you should just do a bit of extra running, a bit of extra work, get in the sauna and get yourself leaned up that way. But things are changing. It's different times. Obviously, you know, we can't say anything that has happened at this point. There's lots of investigations to take place. But it's a huge loss for Liverpool right at the most important time of the season. You know, there's also a little bit of a trend with Liverpool and I know Jurgen Klopp will be slightly dismayed about it. Getting leads and giving leads away, Rob. 2-0 up against Newcastle at the weekend. Yeah. It's not great. Not a great way to go into a big game, a big European game. The one thing I would say with Jurgen Klopp, he's a one-night knockout man. He can set his team up, he can get them motivated, he can get the tactics right, and he can get a result. And I expect Liverpool to be certainly still in the game after Villarreal and maybe see the job off in the second leg.
You think they're going to go through, yeah? You think they're going to get through to the final?
Yeah, I think over two games, I just think this guy can manage his group into the Europa League final.
So, another team playing in European football is Manchester City. A very comfortable 4-0 win against Stoke City. Kelechi Iheanacho looks a wonderful young player. But let's talk about the massive game tomorrow in the Champions League semi-final, first leg. They host Real Madrid with all the star players that they've got. How fascinating is this game going to be?
Proper game, Rob. Two teams who are better on the front foot than they are defensively. I think that has a big bearing on the game. I think on this one, I slightly favour City a little bit more than you. I think City, as long as they're not behind in the game, so obviously winning or even a draw, I don't think is the worst result for Manchester City. I think City have enough to go away from home and score goals anywhere in European football. And so I give City a fighting chance in this one. I know you think that the attacking threats of Real Madrid might be too much for them defensively, but I think City might have a number for them.
Listen, I think it's going to be close. I just think I know they've been a little bit better recently, Man City defensively, Otamendi playing better in Mangala, but Kompany, I expect to start this game. I just see a Cristiano Ronaldo. I know he's got a slight injury doubt. We're not sure whether he's going to play. Gareth Bale, Karim Benzema in good form scoring goals. I think Real Madrid have got a little bit too much for Manchester City, but of course we will see. Let's move it on, Rob. And we have talked about this on the radio show on the Saturday, but I want to go back to it, because I think it's a big story. Roberto Martinez, his situation now at Everton Football Club, it looks grim. They lose the semi-final to Manchester United. They played well in the second half, but the late goal knocks them out of the competition. There's a very negative feeling around the football club. And, you consider that, I think the football club itself is moving backwards in the 3 years he's been there. I think we hear little rumours, to be fair, a little bit of hearsay that the players are losing faith or trust in the manager, but also the fans. The fans are letting their feelings, known of what they feel about this guy. I mean, is there a way he can stay on? I mean, I think he's held in big regard by the club, but with the new money, does he stay? Is there a way that he stays in? Stays in the job?
Yeah, there is. I think if he was to look at things in the summer, maybe change his backroom staff, bring in the right kind of guy who might work on some defensive side. Roberto Martinez needs somebody next to him who's going to say, when he says heads, no, coach, sometimes you've got to think of tail. So we're 1-0 up. You know what? Drop two holding midfield players back in there and block a game off. You know what? Push your wingers in tight and stop playing an expansive game. Somebody's got to be there to get him to see the time. This guy is still a very, very good football coach, and he's shown that with some of the players and some of the teams he's worked with. But he's got a blind side to the organisation and defensive side of the game. So I see that he does have a chance, but the rumour mill and the media seems to say that he's going to be changed. If you think of Gary Monk, if you think of Brendan Rodgers, if you think of Tim Sherwood, people who weren't given an awful lot of time when things started to go wrong, you look at the season's work for Roberto Martinez, and it doesn't look very good, Robert, at this stage. So, we're starting to say, well, if he does go, who would be the right kind of man? And have you got a name? Is there somebody there who stands out for you? You say you plug straight in and ready to work for the football club.
Yes, there is. There is. And there's lots of options. But considering that there is going to be a cash injection at this football club, Ronald Koeman is absolutely perfect for it. Now, I'm not saying that it's an obvious move for him because of the way that Southampton are right now compared to Everton. They're higher up in the table, et cetera, et cetera. But given the money, the new money coming in, the fact
it's
that
he
won't have to sell his best players every year with this new finances, he can go out and really work at a whole different level in finances and the team ultimately. I think Koeman would be perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I've got one name down here, and it's Ronald Koeman. So all that you say, I think you believe it is important, as opposed to maybe somebody who's managing abroad who hasn't been in the Premier League. I think we've seen he can coach his teams, his teams can be disciplined. He's got more out of his group that have less quality than Everton. And I just think if he goes to that next level of quality that Everton have, and he can bring one or two players in with him, I just think that he'd be the perfect plug-in and ready-to-play manager for Everton. So we'll have to watch that space over the summer, see if changes do come in. Let's just sort of get to the PFL that they're having this weekend. Riyad Mahrez, obviously, Player of the Year. Dele Alli winning the Young Player of the Year. And Team of the Year, Rob, was there anybody you thought was a big omission from the Team of the Year? Was there any glaring misses?
Yeah, you know what? I think Dimitri Payet has been excellent. He's been brilliant. He's been great value for West Ham United, and the free kicks have been stunning. I just think Mesut Ozil, and I've not always been the biggest fan of his, but his numbers in terms of assists and stuff and some of his quality has been outstanding. Again, I'm not a massive fan of his overall game, but I think he deserved to be in this team. No problem with the winner in Mahrez. Riyad Mahrez is who I would have gone for. Dele Alli is an obvious choice as well. What about you, mate? Anybody in the team that you might have sort of...
I'm the same. I've got Mesut Ozil and my team, just the assists and the goals and the way he's played. I think he's been outstanding this year. I think if he was in another team, if he was in a title-winning team, we'd be loading him up as a possible player of the season. You know what? I would say Payet. Or do you know who else, maybe controversially, I would have maybe gone for? I would have got him in instead of Dele Alli. I know Dele Alli's had a great season, I think Mesut Ozil's performances have been just as good, and I would have given Dele Alli the young player of the year. It wouldn't have been a slur on his ability. So I wouldn't have had a huge problem with that. Dele Alli's been outstanding, and I'm sure he's destined for many teams of the year. But I thought Mesut Ozil was a big miss.
Just finally, Rob, on the process of the PFA Awards, and we voted every year. Are you? Well, I tell you what, I'm still shocked that it's the end of February, beginning of March, when the players all vote for this. And I know that the date for the award night is set, and it's very difficult to change it. I get that, but why not leave the voting to a lot further up towards the start of it, to get more evidence, more games, more performances, and whether it's online. I mean, players are not stupid. They can go online and cast their vote and leave it quite late, instead of this antiquated system of picking a player at the end of February.
Yeah, and it's almost as though you're basically voting on the first half of the season, and so much can change in that sort of second half period. Let's just look at Crystal Palace and where they were, and you know, the Balassis and the Zars and all these players. All of a sudden, you know, the dip comes in the second half, and you could have been voting for somebody like that as, I don't know, a young player of the year, and all of a sudden their form drops off. So, yeah, you just feel that. I'm not sure why the PFA don't try and leave it a little bit longer, try and, you know, modernise the process, but it is what it is. I think we still ended up in pretty much the right place. But, maybe that's something for a chat with Gordon Taylor next time we're in the UK.
All right, Robbie, we've run out of time for this pod. Thanks very much for your contribution. And remember, everybody, you can always catch the Two Robbies Football Show presented by Land Rover every Saturday on Premier League weekends on NBC Sports Radio. So until next time, take care, and we'll see you soon.
When we listen to the radio, we never agree on the station.
Classic rock.
Hip-hop. Pop.
Guys, quiet. The one thing we do agree on, we all want an awesome free phone. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four free phones of your choice from brands you love, like Samsung, Motorola, and LG when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Free phone requires port. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.